The second of the sacraments, which we will examine now, is that of the Lord's Supper. So, the ordinances of Christ, what we also call the means of grace, the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. We've looked at the sacraments generally. The definition of a sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, applied to believers. We then look at what is baptism and to whom is baptism to be administered, that is to believers and their children. So we baptize both adults when it is their they are unbaptized and they make a profession of faith. They're converted, they come to Christ, and we baptize the children of believers. Now, what is the Lord's Supper? This is question number 96. The Lord's Supper is a sacrament wherein, by giving and receiving bread and wine according to Christ's appointment. So we follow the words of institution. He took the bread, he broke it, he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." In a similar fashion, he takes the cup and he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So with such language, we have three different accounts of it, Matthew, Mark, Luke. We also have 1 Corinthians 11. So, but we follow that example by giving and receiving bread and wine according to Christ's appointment. His death is showed forth. Well, of course it is. The bread represents the body. That was a human body that was hanging on the cross. That was physical death that was entered into. The bread represents the reality of the body, the reality of physical suffering in which Christ suffered real pain as he hung there on the cross. So the body is represented by the bread. His death is showed forth. The body and all its suffering, the blood representing death itself. He shed his blood. He died. So that's what we're displaying. We're displaying the death of Christ. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. We are putting on display the body and blood of Christ. We are putting on display his death. The most important moment in human history, when Christ died, and in so doing, he bore the sins of the world. That's what's being represented at the Lord's Supper. So every time we come to the table, what are we doing? We're recalling his death. We're doing this in remembrance of his suffering and death. We are proclaiming his death until he comes, as the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26, as he describes what we mean by what we do in the Lord's Supper. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The sacraments are visible words. It's a form of proclamation. It is a form of preaching, as it were. So his death is showed forth, continuing in question number 96, "and worthy receivers are not after a corporal and carnal manner, but by faith," not corporal and carnal. So the sacrament has not become the body of Christ. It's not become the actual blood of Christ. And here the catechism is making reference to the Roman Catholic understanding of the sacrament as a sacrifice. So the Roman Catholic concept is, through the words of institution, the bread and the cup become the substance of the body and the blood of Christ. So they say the accidents, which is meant appearances, remain unchanged. For example, the bread still looks like bread, still smells like bread, still tastes like bread. That's the accidents. That's the external appearance. But the substance is the substance of Christ's physical
body, the substance of Christ's physical body, is through the words of institution, the bread and the cup become the substance of his body and his blood. So you could see why Roman Catholics would have a sacrificial understanding of the Lord's Supper. For them, it is a Mass. It is a Mass in which a sacrifice is offered on an altar by a priest. And because Christ is physically present, the proper posture is kneeling. This is called the doctrine of transubstantiation. Transubstantiation. There's the word substance. Trans means the transformation of the substance of the bread and of the cup into the substance of the body and blood of Christ. You then have his body, you then have his blood, you then present it on an altar. The one doing the presenting is a priest offering a sacrifice on an altar. That is being denied by your catechism. Not after a corporal and carnal manner. It is not, we are not partaking of the body and blood of Christ. This is also known as real presence. That's the term that's used. So what the Protestant Reformers said, it is not a Mass, it is a meal. They said it is not a sacrifice, it is a supper. That's what the Bible calls it. It's called the Lord's Supper. It's not an altar, it's a table. That bit of furniture, that's a table. It's not an altar on which a sacrifice is offered. It's a table on which a meal is being served. The one administering it, he's not a priest offering a sacrifice. He is a pastor or a preacher serving a meal. Those who are receiving it, they're not kneeling and offering worship to the bread and the cup. They are seated. Because that's the posture for participating in a meal. You don't kneel to eat your dinner. This is a supper. What's the proper posture for a supper? It's to be seated. And so the presence is not a real presence. The early Protestants rejected the use of that term, and we've been rejecting it ever since. But we do then speak of a true. This real presence represents this doctrine of transubstantiation, or the Lutheran view of consubstantiation, which says that the bread remains bread and the cup remains cup. It rejects transubstantiation, but it does go on to say, nevertheless, Christ is physically present under and around and with the bread and the cup. So they will use the language of real presence. Our tradition refers to it as a true presence, and that he is spiritually present. But that should be understood as a true presence, not a real presence, as a spiritual presence, in no way a carnal or corporal presence, in no way a physical presence. Worthy receivers are not after a corporal and carnal manner, but by faith receiving bread and cup in a spiritual sense, and are thereby made partakers of his body and blood with all of his benefits to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. Spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. So there is real spiritual benefit that comes about. 1 Corinthians 10:3, the Apostle Paul there speaks of spiritual food and spiritual drink. It's a food and drink for the soul. And nobody's going to get full
in that participating in this symbolic meal where you get a little bit of bread and a little bit of the fruit of the vine, you're not going to get full on that. It's a symbolic meal because it's a spiritual meal. It feeds not the body, it feeds the soul. It is not a carnal partaking of the body and blood of Christ. It's a spiritual partaking of the body and blood of Christ. So that goes on then, number 97, what is required to the worthy receiving of the Lord's Supper? The answer is required of them that would worthily partake of the Lord's Supper that they examine themselves of their knowledge to discern the Lord's body. So before somebody is admitted to the table, we need to know, do they understand what's going on? So before you who are non-communing members, before you are admitted to the Lord's table, your elders, the session of the church is going to want to know, do you understand the Lord's Supper? Do you understand what's taking place? Do you understand the meaning of the bread and of the cup and what they represent and what they symbolize? Are you straight on this? Do you understand that this is not a mass but a meal? It's not a sacrifice. It's a supper. It's not an altar. It's a table. I'm not a priest. I'm a pastor. You don't kneel, you sit. It's not real presence, it's true presence. Do you understand the basic nature of the communion service, or what's also called the Eucharist, and called as well the Lord's Supper? Eucharist meaning thanksgiving in Greek. Do you understand the meaning of it? So to worthily receive and partake of the Lord's Supper, that you examine yourself of your knowledge to discern the Lord's body. In other words, to understand the meaning of the supper, of their faith to feed upon Him. Do you believe and trust? There has to be faith. Again, it's not an automatic ingestion of bread and the fruit of the vine that results in blessing and the imparting of faith. One has faith. Or the imparting of grace, rather, it is faith, belief, trust. So you're examining yourself as to your knowledge, as to your faith, of your repentance. If you come to the Lord's table and you're unrepentant, the Apostle Paul warned you, eat and drink judgment to yourself. So there's a self-examination that goes on here. Is my faith real? Is my repentance real? Is love manifest in my life? God is love. His children love. They are called to love as He loves those who are truly converted, those who are truly born again, real believers. They will manifest love and new obedience. Am I obedient? Not perfectly obedient, but characteristically obedient. Not perfectly loving, but characteristically loving. Not perfectly repentant, but characteristically, habitually repentant. I don't have perfect faith, but I have true faith. A warning then, lest coming unworthily to the Lord's Supper, you eat and drink judgment to yourself. The Apostle Paul warns of this. This is why this language is in the Catechism. Because he warns, 1 Corinthians 11:27, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, if you come to the Lord's Supper and you do so and you're joking around and you're flippant and superficial and you really don't understand, you're just doing it because it's the thing to do, he warns you'll be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. So, let a person examine himself. That's why you have this language in the Catechism, that we are to examine ourselves. Then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, understanding the meaning of the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. And then he tells them, look, that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some of you have died. You desecrated the Lord's table. There are consequences for that. You have been judged by God. So it's important that when we come to the Lord's table, that we have a proper, right, and true understanding. It is required of them that would worthily partake of the Lord's Supper that they examine themselves of their knowledge to discern the Lord's body. So knowledge of their faith to feed upon Him, faith of their repentance, of their love, and of their new obedience, lest coming unworthily they eat and drink judgment to themselves. So when we administer the Lord's Supper, it is inherently, necessarily, a serious business that we engage in. We are ratifying the covenant. We are confirming our commitment to Christ. He is confirming his commitment to us, confirming the imparting of the benefits of the shed blood and broken body of Christ. And we, in turn, are confirming our commitment to him. So it's an inherently serious business. And in light of these judgments, it must be undertaken with great sobriety and care, lest we eat and drink judgment to ourselves.